Blog Talk Radio.
Ramiro Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer radio show. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You call in to the show, the guest calling in line is 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687. Time on deck is 8:04 a.m. It is 57 degrees Fahrenheit and cloudy and rainy in San Diego, California. Our topic for today is CFP Championship. That's College Football Playoff Championship. Big budget versus little budget. The reason why Big 12 teams had no business playing the SEC champions in the College Football Playoff Championship game. The host will also debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be NCAA, definitely NCAA football today, NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB. I'll try to rattle off some scores as they come up on the monitor for all other sports besides NCAA football. Today is a topic about the college football playoff championship. But if you'd like to call in to the show, definitely call in. Raise your hand in queue, and I'll come to you and just announce your first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from. And then we'll answer any questions that you might have concerning the sport that you love the most. This is an NFL talk show, so we talk a lot about football, but we cover, like I said, NBA, NHL, and MLB, and NCAA men's and women's sports. But we also talk about pie-eating contests, hot dog-eating contests, mud wrestling, dog races, horse races, camel races, badminton, water polo, volleyball, WWE, UFC, boxing, whatever you want to talk about that comes across the monitor as a sport, you can call in and we can talk about it. And you can call in and debate the host on it or correct me if I make any errors. If you don't know what we're talking about the sport that we're talking about, we can teach you. If you call in and talk about something like badminton, water polo, whatever the case may be, you can teach us. Anyway, let's get off into it. College football playoff championship, big budget versus little budget. Come on, people. Let's get real. It's time to get real. It's all over the monitor. Stuff is spewing out of people's mouths all over the monitor. Okay? It was an embarrassment last night. That Big 12 team, TCU. I don't even want to say that name to from embarrassment. TCU. I'm gonna just say it this one time. I'm gonna consider them the Big 12 team for the rest of this topic. And if I'm correct, they are in the Big 12. If I'm incorrect, please call into the show and correct me. But we know who we're talking about when I say the Big 12 team, and that is Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas, where I used to live in Fort Worth. So I am familiar with the program. TCU, the Big 12 team that represented in the college football playoff last night, had no business being there. I'm going to say it again. The Big 12 team, and I don't want to even say their name anymore because to protect them from embarrassment. The Big 12 team that you saw on TV last night had no business being in the college football playoff championship. They had no business being there. You know who should have been there? Alabama. I'm sorry. When Alabama loses some tough games in the SEC to a Tennessee and a tough LSU, and you got TCU who loses to K-State in their own conference championship, TCU had no business being there. But everybody want to go and talk this, oh, it's not fair. It's not fair. You know, the SEC can't have two people in the CFP championships every year, or it can't be a Big Ten and an SEC team, or ACC and a Big Ten or SEC team. People, we know where the power teams are. Definitely in the SEC, they're stacked. SEC East, SEC West, they're stacked. Then you occasionally get an ACC, a Big Ten. That's where the teams are. You start talking Big 12, TCU, K-State, Kansas. Those teams can't compete. Sorry, they can't. Yeah, TCU beat Michigan. Michigan's problem was they didn't score in the red zone. They allowed TCU to make a couple goal line stands. They didn't score in the red zone. Why? I don't know. I don't know if the moment got too big for some of them guys. At the same time, I don't know how many seniors are on that team. I don't know how many five-year seniors on that team, how many six-year guys on that team. And vice versa on TCU. I don't know. Experience plays a lot into this. Age plays a lot into this. You know, if TCU had more returning seniors, or fifth-year seniors and all, or sixth-year seniors due to COVID-19, it could have played into experience. Sometimes when the guys are a little bit older and then they're playing against sophomores and juniors that still got a couple more years to go, it could have played out like that. I don't know the numbers. I don't know the ages. But all I'm saying is, for whatever reason, Michigan Big Ten team should have beat TCU. They didn't score in the red zone. Two or three times they had to kick field goals, if I'm remembering the game correctly. They allowed TCU to hang around. If you're going to allow David to hang around, if you're a Goliath and you're going to allow David to hang around, don't get pissed off. Don't be surprised when David pops you with a rock, and next thing you know, you're on your back. You're on your backside. Okay? It can happen. Just like in any sport. You allow a team, an inferior opponent, to keep hanging around, and get confidence, they can take you out. You not say it's going to happen all the time, but you put yourself at risk of getting upset. The TCU Michigan game was just what that was. It was an upset. Can they duplicate it? No. However, at the same time, I ain't really, saying that Georgia all that, because they almost got put out. It was almost Ohio State and TCU. And the way Ohio State played against Georgia in that game, which I said that was the championship game. The championship game was Ohio State and Georgia. So like I said, this year should have been a Big Ten and an SEC team, or two SEC teams in the whole mix. And I would even be satisfied with two Big Ten teams in the mix, Ohio State against Michigan, as a rematch. Even though they got trounced in the regular season, they probably was going to be motivated to come back and get revenge. But that's a big-time rivalry, Ohio State-Michigan. The point I'm making, people, again, and I'm going to take some time to continue to go over this today. I got a couple of different scenarios, a couple of different historical scenarios and everything that I'm going to talk about this subject. The TCU had no business being there. And let me go ahead and say the name. I did say I didn't want to say their name, so they didn't take on any more embarrassment. But I got to say their name. Texas Christian University, TCU Horned Frogs, did not belong in the same ring with a Georgia Bulldog. A Horned Frog did not have – last night, that Horned Frog had no business in the ring with UGA. Simple as that. That's why UGA didn't travel last night. I think what he is, UGA 3, UGA 10, no, UGA 10, whatever UGA he is now. UGA didn't even travel last night. He said, I'm not taking that trip for that mess. I ain't going away to California for that garbage. I already know we finna beat them. And they beat the brakes off TCU. They didn't only beat them. They beat the brakes off TCU. I mean, good God. They beat the brakes off them. I went to go take a shower. Hey, worked out hard yesterday. Sat down, done a little business. Next thing I look up, after I cooked me a little something, looked up, the game was about to come on. I said, well, should I shower now or should I wait till the game go off? Started watching the game. Right after the first quarter, I said, let me go ahead and take my shower so I don't fall asleep sweaty. Let me go and take my shower. That's how bad the game was at the end of the at the first quarter. I already knew it was going to be a rout. TCU had no business in that ring. No business. So why were they there? Let's talk about why they were there. They were there because of all of these bleeding heart sympathies. Oh, TCU, they were unbeatable all throughout the season. I think they were second quarter team. They always come back. They were unbeatable. They were unbeatable throughout the whole season. Nobody could defeat them. Who are they playing? I don't even recall them playing an SEC team. And if they did, who'd you play? Kentucky? Somebody weak in the SEC, Vanderbilt. Yeah, you can dig around in the SEC and find a formidable opponent just Missouri, find a formidable opponent to put on your on your doggone roster. You can find a weak SEC team, the Texas A&M, something like that, Missouri. But Missouri really ain't nothing but a Big 12 team. Missouri is a Big 12 team, just like Texas A&M is a Big 12 team, posing as SEC teams. We let them go and come over. They had the budget to buy into the situation. That's fine, whatever. But like I said, if TCU beat them just old conference rivals. You used to them. I'm talking about, did you play LSU? No. Did you play Tennessee? No. Alabama? No. You didn't play them. This is what I'm saying, people. But the bleeding heart sympathists got those guys up there and got those kids embarrassed last night. Got Sonny Dykes, who used to be Louisiana Tech's coach, and I'm all things Louisiana because that's where I'm from, and I'm up there from that area, right outside of Ruston, Louisiana, where Louisiana Tech is at, where Sonny Dykes was the head coach, if I'm remembering correctly. If he wasn't there, he was at ULM, but I think Todd Berry was at ULM while Sonny Dykes was at Louisiana Tech. So my whole thing is Louisiana Tech, SMU, Sonny Dykes, great job. Great coach. Good ball coach. Good ball coach at that level. But when you're going up against a team like Georgia, who had already been in a dogfight the week before, like I said, the Georgia-Ohio State game, that was a college football championship. And to be honest with you, Georgia almost didn't make it up out of there. Because Ohio State was putting it to them. Had what's my man, the great receiver from the Indianapolis Colts back in the day, his son plays for Ohio State, and he got hurt. I'll think of his name in a minute if I'm remembering right. But his Marvin Harrison's son, Marvin Harrison, for the Indianapolis Colts Hall of Fame, I think by now, or going to eventually go to the Hall of Fame. I believe Marvin Harrison's son plays for Ohio State. And he was giving Georgia the business. They had no answer for him. Had he not gotten hurt, I don't think Georgia would have been in the college football playoff. It would have been Ohio State. And say, for instance, TCU still, they made it. They made it because they beat up on Michigan. But what was they going to do with a hungry Ohio State? What was they going to do with a hungry Ohio State? Who was going to set out to prove we finna whoop y'all because Michigan whooped us, y'all whooped Michigan, and we finna show y'all we could have whooped Michigan too by beating up on TCU. I think the outcome was going to be the same, especially if they had Marvin Harrison's son playing. I forgot that young man's name, but I believe his last name is Harrison, the one that got hurt against Georgia and then playing the second half because he was giving Georgia the business. Georgia almost wasn't even in the college football playoff championship. Then you bring in TCU. Texas Christian. Horn Frog, small market ball club, good ball club, small market ball club, simple as that. I don't care. You can beat upon the Louisiana Techs, the Tulanes, the Coastal Carolinas, who else? Just the Troys, like Troy University. You can beat up on them guys, Alabama, Birmingham. All these conference USAs, the American Conference, you beat up on San Diego State. You can beat up on all these different teams. Houston, I don't care. Name them. Name all of them. TCU, yeah. You can go up there and beat up on all them guys. We're talking about big-time ball, people. And I ain't talking about big-time ball on no snafu. If you can't beat two Big Ten teams back-to-back, you ain't at their level. You can't beat one on a snafu. You can't beat one on, and like I said, Michigan, they let they self down, and they need to be embarrassed. They need to be ashamed of themselves because they should have been able to score in the red zone. But for whatever reason, they couldn't score in the red zone. They let TCU stop them on the goal line a couple different times. That was the outcome of that game. Michigan left too many points on the board. It wasn't like they wasn't getting down there. It wasn't like they weren't moving the ball on TCU. They just let themselves down. Okay, if you Goliath, and you let David hang around, don't get upset when you get popped with a rock and find yourself on your backside. Don't get upset when you pop yourself with a rock. You pop with a rock and find yourself on your backside. I mean, that game last night was just embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I don't know what I don't really know what else to say about it. For those of you that's tuning in, this is Romero Fran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokes and Bear Radio Show. We're talking about the college football playoff championship, big budget versus little budget. And I'm going to explain that in a minute on the budget thing. But going back, my thoughts on why TCU was in the game in the first place is because of you bleeding heart sympathists. Oh, we deserve to be there. I've already seen this story play out one time before. Back in 2008, Hawaii went to the Sugar Bowl. Hawaii, the Rainbow Warriors. Yeah, they went to a Sugar Bowl back in 2008. Oh, yes, they did. Oh, yes, they did. About 15 years ago, yes, they did. And who did they play? None other than the Georgia Bulldogs, if I'm remembering right. You can call into the show and correct me if I'm wrong. But if I'm correct, they played a SEC team, Georgia Bulldogs. Hawaii had a quarterback and one solid DB. And the quarterback probably had one good receiver to throw to. But that quarterback, God rest his soul, I forgot the young man's name. He's, I believe he's a Hawaii native, a Caucasian young man, a white guy. But he passed away a few years back. I'm going to say about the last 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, I think that young man passed away. He had like a troubled past, but he got the football, I believe, helped him get his career together. And I think June Jones might have been the head coach for that Hawaii team. But they was arguing, well, Hawaii even whooped everybody in the whack. I think they came out the Western Athletic Conference with Louisiana Tech, Fresno State, who else was in the whack? There were so many other different little teams in the whack. All good ball clubs. All had good ball coaches. You know, June Jones is, for as I know, a good offensive-minded coach, offensive coordinator. I think he spent some time with the San Diego Chargers once or twice in different places in the league. So, I mean, June Jones, I mean, you know, and I think they still have him coaching now in, like, where like maybe the USFL or probably coming up the XFL. I think, you know, he's been around. Good ball coach, don't get me wrong. But when you take a team from Hawaii, out of the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference, take them out there, and they're playing against teams like you know, Hawaii playing against teams, like I said, like, you know, San Diego State, Fresno State, you know, Sacramento State, you know, San Jose State, teams like that. You're playing against that caliber competition, and then you take a team in there and trying to say they deserve to be in the Sugar Bowl. In the Sugar Bowl, people, against Georgia. Georgia Bulldogs. Well, you know, Hawaii ain't going to travel like Georgia going to travel one, you know, a couple states over to Louisiana from Georgia. You already got to deal with the crowd. Okay? Hawaii, their fans showed up. Well, as I know, they did show up. But I'm not going to say they showed up like Georgia showed up. It's been some years ago, so I really can't remember the details. Even if it was even with the fan attendance, the program was not big enough to be on that stage. But the bleeding heart sympathists, oh, Hawaii is undefeated. I think they were undefeated that year. Hawaii is undefeated. They deserve to be in this national championship game. And I think that's in the F, what was that, the, what do we call it, the BCS. That's when we had the BCS. I don't know the difference between the CFP and the BCS. It's all the same garbage to me. But anyway, the BCS was in place then. So they were like, oh, no, Hawaii deserves a big bowl game. Got out there and got destroyed. Probably the same numbers, 50-something to 7. Something like that, 50-something to 3, 50-something to 10. Against the same caliber type of opponent. You could take Hawaii then and TCU today. Put them on the field. They battle each other in the duel. That same team. Then and this TCU team last night. they would have battled each other. It would have been competitive in a high-level bowl game. But when you start putting these teams like Hawaii, undefeated TCU, you know, where they lost their Big Ten, their Big 12 championship against K-State. You put them out there against a Georgia. I don't care if they did luck up and beat Michigan, because it was luck. It wasn't so much that they beat Michigan. They did beat them, but Michigan also beat themselves. Like I said, it's just like basketball. Okay, you get a garbage team on any given night in basketball because of so many games. A garbage team can beat the Golden State Warriors. A garbage team can beat the Nets, the Celtics. A garbage team can step up and beat them, especially if you're playing at their home field and let them hang around. A garbage team can luck up and win a game at any time, especially when you got multiple games in a season. It ain't like basketball, not like football. It's multiple opportunities. And then teams resting people and stuff like that. So, I mean, when you're just looking at – you got to look at the reason why somebody won. But with this Michigan – in football, with this Michigan and TCU thing, the way I'm looking at it is just like TCU beat Michigan because Michigan let themselves down. In football, you don't have but one chance to get it right. But they came in, they let themselves down. They had already beat Ohio State. Beat them good, too. And that was a game where I thought that Ohio State was going to win because I believe they scored the first couple touchdowns. But then Michigan came back and basically made it into a dang near route. But Michigan let themselves down. They should have been in that championship game against Georgia. And they shouldn't have been no doggone TCU there. Because Michigan was going to give them a better game. But the bleeding heart sympathists, we have to look at the why. Why were they there in the first place? The bleeding heart sympathists, oh, they deserve to be there. No, they don't. And I'm going to tell you now why they don't deserve to be there. I'm going to tell you why they don't deserve to be there. They don't deserve to be there because the budget, people, this is why they don't deserve to be there. Because of the budget. When I say the budget, how many dollars does Georgia have to spend to get five-star recruits? I think that's the highest it goes, like five. It goes like a good recruit is 3, 4, 5, right? That's how they rank them, if I'm correct, coming out of high school. 3, 4, 5-star recruits. You get a lot of high-level FCS teams got those guys. Like in North Dakota State, South Dakota's, you know, 3-star recruits, they get those guys. Yeah, FCS guys. Then, you talking about four-star, that's like, you know, 3 and 4-star, TCU, big, you know, Big 12 kids, you know, three-star recruits, four-star recruits, you know, they get those guys. But you talking about the SEC, LSU, Tennessee, Georgia, you know what they got on their team? All, I'm talking about the powerhouse teams in the SEC, all 5-star recruits. Everybody on their team damn near is a 5-star recruit. Why? Because they have the budget to get it. What am I going to go out and get recruit a 3-star guy for when I can go pay for a better guy than the 3-star coming out of high school and I can afford to cut the check for him? And I can talk money now because with NIL, these players get paid now. And, I mean, I'm glad they're getting paid because it didn't make any sense for them not to. The school making plenty of money. They're making all kind of money for the school with the football program and their basketball program. So, I mean, you know, those two sports alone, cover the budget for baseball, soccer, volleyball, and everything else. So I'm glad they're able to get paid. Everybody can get paid, but I'm definitely glad the football players can get paid because, you know, football is the hardest sport physically because of the collision factor. Basketball is the most skilled sport, but football is the most It's the most dangerous sport out of the two because of the collision factor. So I've always felt like those football players should be getting paid. And that's usually where your money is raked in at. Your money's usually raked in on football, even when you got a bad team. People just love their football. Even if you're a Vanderbilt, that's always losing. People love to come out and watch the game. They're going to support their team in the football season. Basketball, because it's a lot of games. You know, back and forth, you know, if they're really good, they're going to pack it out. But, you know, if they ain't having a so good season, it could be up and down. So I say football usually carries a Division I sports program. Now, going back to budget, why would Georgia waste time going after a doggone two-star, three-star recruit when they got the budget to get five-star recruits? So look at last night. TCU, I pretty much am confident that if I look at the roster, TCU didn't have a roster full of five-star recruits because they don't have that budget. TCU is a small market ball club. You know, the sister city to Big D, the sister city to Dallas, and all the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I know it well. I live there. I work there. I done business there. I got family there. So my whole thing is, you know, I got friends and family out there. So I know the market. It's a small market situation. I think Fort Worth has Texas Westland, which is an NAIA school. And then they got TCU. Not far from that, Dallas has North Texas. Then you got UTA, UT Arlington. I know the area. All these schools I'm naming, these are small market ball clubs. Good ball clubs, but they small market ball clubs. We talking about three-star and some four-star recruits that might want to stay local. But you talking about Georgia, who can reach their hand all the way to California like they got number 19. I forgot the young man's name, number 19. He didn't want to go to USC, UCLA, and all. He said, I want to go to Georgia. That's almost unheard of. That's a five-star kid, 9 times out of 10, that they couldn't keep in Los Angeles. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go to Georgia. I'm going to the SEC. Smart move. He's a champion now. And he's just a freshman. Number 19 last night, I think he got one more year. If you'd like to call into the show and debate me or correct me, call in the error code 515-602-9687. We're going to be taking a quick station break here after I finish this point, go off into my music mix, and then I'll come back and try to chill off some more scores coming across the monitor and other sports. But to finish my thought, why was Georgia able to dominate TCU like they did? The budget. They have the budget to get any five-star recruit in the country they want. If you have the budget to purchase any five-star recruit, only thing the recruit has to do is at that point decide what school he wants to go to that has a similar budget. Meaning, like, if LSU, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, if those schools got money, all the recruit got to do is say, okay, I'm going to go to Texas. I'm not going to go to LSU. I'm going to go to Texas because Texas can get five-star recruits, and Texas is football. Texas and then Florida, that's football. Don't get me wrong, the whole South, Southeast is football, but I'm saying powerhouse recruits, Florida and Texas. That's where your recruits come from. Texas can keep people pretty much in Texas at will. As far as the University of Texas go, because they got the money. TCU also in Texas. Sure, not Austin, but they're in Texas, North Texas. But that's a small market ball club. That's a small market ball club. TCU, Louisiana Tech, ULM, all of them schools, they're about the same. All small market ball clubs. Good ball clubs, small market ball clubs. SMU. We got SMUs up there, too. But my whole thing is, these are all small market ball clubs that are going to get the three-star recruits. They're going to get the three-star recruits and the four stars that want to stay at home. But when you're playing against a powerhouse like Georgia with the budget to just say everybody on, you can't come to this program if you ain't a five-star recruit. I'm going to just put it like that. They can pick and choose how they want to because we have the budget to get the best. Our alumni pays the coach and pays for these athletic facilities. Our alumni is great to this program. They dump cash into this program. They dump cash in this program because we want to be competing at all times for championships or big bowl games. We want to always be in the playoff mix, the big bowl mix. So they put the money behind the product. When you put the money behind the product, you look up and you got all five-star recruits and you playing in a CFP championship against a bunch of three-star recruits. That's why the score was lopsided, people. I'm pretty confident in what I'm saying. If you can correct me and just say, no, TCU had a big budget and all these guys were five-star recruits. And, you know, we had a couple of five-star recruits coming out of the transfer portal. I'm not saying they didn't have at least one five-star guy on their squad. So the transfer portal, okay, that's an option. Then on top of that, with the with some of these guys want to stay local. So you might have been a guy in Fort Worth that was a five-star recruit. You know, and he might have said, you know what, I'm going to stay local. You know, I'm gonna stay up close to home. I can go back and see my mom every weekend. You don't know what these young men are going through at home. So some of these guys do stay local, and they're a five-star recruit. So I'm not saying that TCU didn't have a couple five-star guys. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that look what happened when Georgia pulled out. One of the media experts on the monitor was saying, the look in TCU's eyes is like, man, that guy's a freshman? That guy I'm playing against is a freshman? And he's a second string. That's what I'm talking about, people. Georgia's freshmen are five-star. And they came in, the second squad came in, and they were just as deadly as the first squad. TCU had no chance. They only had one team full of three, four stars, maybe a sprinkle of two, five stars. Georgia, first string, second string, third string, five star, five star, five star. They have the budget to build a minor league NFL system. That's why all those guys that play at these big schools, that's why they're on the draft board. That's why they get invited to camp. So I'm trying to tell these free agents. I'm a cap the street free agents on the shoulder. Street free agents from there was NFL camp hopefuls from 2022 and NFL camp hopefuls this year in 2023. I give you the opportunity to play pro football and prove that you can play at some level and against those type of five-star guys that for whatever reason get cut from NFL camp because they can't get in. They're trying to work their way back up. It's an opportunity that you can at least one-on-one prove that you can compete with those guys rather than compete against a whole team full of them. It's you know, in the pro developmental football leagues, you got people playing from every level, every level, whether you was a two-star recruit, three-star recruit, four-star, five-star, whether you was in an NFL camp, CFL camp, whether you're just a street free agent. Pro developmental film leagues give you the opportunity to go and prove that you can at least compete with NFL-caliber athletes. A lot of street free agents, they'll sit back and say, man, I know I'm NFL material. I know I'm NFL material. How? Could your D3 school go out there and compete against Georgia last night? Could your D2 school do it? Could your NAIA program do it? Could your D1 FCS HBCU college do it? No. Everybody that I just mentioned would get trucked by Georgia, trucked by Tennessee, trucked by LSU, trucked by Texas. And I'm not even saying Texas was that great this year, but what I will say is that Texas got money to get five-star recruits, and they're in their rebuilding. That's why they was able to get Arch Manning's son to come over there and play. They got a Manning in the wings. Anytime you got money to get a Manning, the first family of football, to your program like Texas did, guess what, people? Stand by. Texas is probably going to be good. Give them 2 years. They'll probably be back in the college football playoff scenario because they got a Manning. All I'm saying is all you street free agents that are out there, start using common sense. If you wasn't a five-star athlete, that's why you're not in the NFL. If you're not a four-star athlete, that's why you're not in the NFL. Three-star, two-star, one-star, all that is a NAIA program, D2 program, D3 program, HBCU, FCS D1 program, HBCU Division II program. That's what those are. Five-stars go to Georgia because Georgia know how to cut the check. They got the budget. So the point I'm making is, people, big budget versus little budget, which is in the title. The reason why TCU got truck last night, the reason why the Big 12 team got truck last night against the SEC champions, and now the college football playoff champions, the reason why they was able to truck TCU like they did last night, there's only one simple answer: the money. They knew how to cut the check. They have the budget to get whatever they want on their football team. Like I said, the media experts were saying once the second string came in, TCU was still looking like good God. The first string is good. Now we're tired. And then they put the fresh second team in there, and the fresh second team just picked up what first string left off, going right upside TCU head. Because guess what y'all didn't know? All our freshmen are five-star recruits, and they just as good as the first team. How about that? They go against each other in practice every day. How about that? That's why Georgia was ready. That's why Georgia dominated TCU. TCU's a small market club. Sonny Dykes is a great coach, but he's a small ball coach. Small ball coach. You know? He's a small ball coach. And ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm just saying that, you know, Sonny Dykes, I ain't trying to say nothing bad about the man. This is my opinion. I couldn't coach a Pop Warner team. I couldn't coach a rec league team. I couldn't coach a flag football team. That's not my gift. I'm just a media expert out here, pro armchair quarterback that try to stay in enough condition, enough physical condition to say I'm a pro at something. I'm a pro level rec league athlete that still try to, you know, run and take care of myself. So don't picture me as this big fat guy with this big 10-gallon gut. I mean, I got my, you know, this here stogies and beer, so I got my a little beer belly. But I try to run it off, try to do my push-ups and my sit-ups and stuff every day, or every day my body will allow me to do it. So I try to stay in somewhat of decent shape to be a pro armchair quarterback, pro rec league athlete. But my whole thing is I'm not smart as Sonny Dykes. That's not what I'm saying. Sonny Dykes is a mastermind at the level of coaching that he's at, but he's at the Division I small market level. He's not at the Division I Nick Saban, Division I Kirby Smart, and all that. He's not there yet. Jimbo Fisher and who else you got there up at Clemson? He's not at that level. He's a small ball coach. SMU, Louisiana Tech, TCU, yeah. You know, you get these players. You can run your gimmicks, gimmicky teams, speed teams. But when it comes, when you start playing a team like Georgia with nothing but five-star athletes, and you got a bunch of three- and four-star athletes, you know, and maybe one or two or three five-star athletes, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's how it goes, because it's about the budget. That's why the team was so much better. It wasn't like, oh, they just came out here and outplayed us tonight, or we just had a bad night. No. TCU didn't have the weapons. TCU didn't have the manpower. TCU did not have the manpower to be in that college playoff game. But the reason why that game, I can't wait to hear what some of the other media experts are going to have to say throughout the day, because at the end of the day, it was a shellacking. And it was a shellacking because all you bleeding heart sympathists out there constantly trying to say, oh, life got to be fair. You got to be fair. It's an undefeated team. This team has the right to be in the college football playoff championship. No, they didn't. No, they didn't, people. The reason why they ain't had a right to be there is because they didn't have the manpower to be competing at that level. With that being said, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Just talking a little bit about the college football championship last night and the big budget versus little budget analysis. Georgia with the big budget, TCU with the little budget. When you got a big budget, you can dominate a team like TCU. And that's why either Michigan with a big budget, or but they let themselves down. That's why the point I'm making is Alabama should have been there because Alabama had a big budget. Alabama should have been in there, not TCU. Alabama, Ohio State, it should have been Alabama and Michigan, and then Ohio State and Georgia, and then whoever won out of that, it might have wound up being Alabama and Georgia, all SEC championship. And that would have been an entertaining game last night because I can guarantee, I'm pretty sure that Nick Saban, and I believe they had already lost to Georgia in the regular season, I'm pretty sure they wasn't going to go there and just lay an egg, just come up, go up in there and just score 7 points. Alabama ain't built like that. We talking about another squad with nothing but five-star athletes because Alabama has what? The budget to pay for only five-star athletes. If you're not a five-star athlete, you're not going to that school. You're not going to that school. Now, I ain't saying that, you know, they might have a sprinkle of 2 4-star athletes. That's fine. Some of the 4-stars that's local, they may have, you know, okay, yeah, we're going to go ahead and work you out, you know, see if you can hang with the 5-star kids and they prove themselves. But these programs are built on having 5-star athletes, meaning their budget dictates that they go out and get the best. They go out and recruit the best. They're not going out and just recruiting athletes that play football. No, they're going out and recruiting the best athletes that play college football, that's trying to play college football. They go out and get the best high school recruits and bring them into their programs. And they try to load them up because most of the time after they play 2 or 3 years, they go into the NFL. So they have to keep these rosters stacked, with these high-level athletes. Now, it's going to get more competitive throughout the regular season. Teams will be able to put up, most of these FCS teams will be able to put up, you know, 21 points. Most of the high, you know, the teams in the Big 12 and everything like that, they'll be able to, you know, they'll always be able to, you know, every blue moon beat a powerhouse team when they catch a powerhouse team sleeping. Like TCU beat Michigan, they call them sleeping. Michigan let them hang around. The point that I'm making, though, is the big budget of these SEC teams and teams like Texas, even though they're a big team, Big 12 team, Texas got a lot of oil money around that school. They can go out and get all 5-star athletes from all over the place. Like they said, they have, like I said, they have a Manning. Anytime you put a Manning on your team at quarterback, they're trust me, Texas in the next 2 years is probably going to be in the college football playoff again around that young man with the last name Manning. All I'm saying is last night, TCU, they showed up. They showed up and they got trucked. Georgia beat the brakes off TCU last night. And I like TCU. I'm a TCU fan. I like TCU. You know, LaDainian Tomlinson, Red Rifle Andy Dalton. I'm a TCU fan. But I just knew that they didn't have no business in that game. They didn't have no business in that game. Should they have got a New Year's Six bowl game? Sure. Sure. They should have had a high-level bowl game. But, I mean, they didn't even win their conference, people. K-State beat them. Then you're going to say, okay, well, they was undefeated in the regular season. So what? And, yeah, they did knock off a sleeping giant in Michigan. But what? But if you can't beat a team back to a powerhouse team like a Big Ten or a SEC team back-to-back weeks, guess what? You're going to run into a wall. And they ran into a wall last night. That's why I'm saying with the schedules, with the doggone schedules, you got to look at it. Who is TCU playing? I mean, they're playing good teams, but they ain't playing powerhouse teams. That's all I'm saying in the regular season. You're not playing powerhouse teams in the regular season. You're not playing against powerhouse conferences in the regular season. Y'all playing the Nebraska, even if you playing the SEC team, it's the Missouris, the Texas A&Ms, you know, some of these weaker SEC teams, Vanderbilt. You playing all these weaker teams. You can look at any league and find weak links, but I'm talking about the top cream of the crop in those conferences. I didn't see TCU playing them, if I'm correct. So all I'm going to say is this. It's the budget, people. That's why the Big 12 representative, TCU, got trucked last night against the Georgia Bulldogs. That's why Georgia is the college football playoff national champions, because they were playing a weak, weak conference, a weak, weak team. That's just my opinion. You don't have to agree with it. You can call in and argue with me about it. You can call in and debate me and correct me, and this ain't nothing going against Sonny Dykes. This ain't nothing going against Duggan. This ain't nothing going against the team. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they're a garbage program. I'm just saying that you are not built to win a championship because you don't have the budget to do it. If you don't have the budget to compete, you don't have the manpower to compete with a Georgia. With that being said, we're going to take a quick station break. I got to give me some coffee and wet my throat. But we'll be back in about 5 minutes or so. Thank you. Stand by. welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. If you'd like to call in to the show, the guest line is 515-602-9687. Call in the area code 515-602-9687. If you'd like to call in and debate or correct the host about anything that we're talking about today. I'm going to go to the monitor because I think I've exhausted my comments on our topic today, which is college football playoff championship, big budget versus little budget. The reason why the Big 12 team had no business playing the SEC champions in the college football playoff championship game. And it just came down to budget, people. It just, again, the reason why the Georgia Bulldogs, congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs for winning the college football playoff national championship last night. And congratulations to the TCU Horned Frogs representing the Big 12 for making it to the college football playoff and the college football playoff championship game. But the reason why TCU lost against Georgia last night, because Georgia had the biggest budget. Georgia can just pay for to get five-star recruits at will. Their first string, their second string, their third string, these are all five-star recruits, maybe a sprinkle of four-star recruits here and there that they gave a shot to. And even the experts said last night on the monitor, once Georgia pulled his starters, it's second team came in fresh, but it's not just that they were fresh. They were just as good. Probably not as much experience, but physically just as good as the starters. And they go up against those starters with experience every day in practice. So TCU was still wide-eyed when the second string came in. Georgia was still dominating the game. Because why? The second team is dominant. Five-star athletes. So, it's the budget. Like I said, Sonny Dykes, good small ball football coach, Louisiana Tech, SMU, that type of stuff. TCU, small, good solid small ball coach. Good solid small ball coach. But as far as like taking a team, and I ain't saying Sonny Dykes can't go and coach at Notre Dame. That's not what I'm saying. I'm quite sure if you put Sonny Dykes anywhere that has a bigger budget than he has now, he's probably going to get back to a college playoff championship, because if he got there with TCU, he can get there with a team with the budget and probably win. So it's not so much about Coach Dykes. It's just currently right now, he's a good small ball coach until he gets a bigger opportunity. Every time you take a small ball program and you go up against a big budget SEC team, big budget Big Ten team, you 9 times out of 10. Now I say 9 times out of 10 because he did beat Michigan, but I believe it was more so Michigan let themselves down. Like I said, anytime if you're Goliath and you let David hang around, don't get surprised when a David in TCU uses his slingshot and takes a rock and pops you upside the head, and you find yourself on your butt, on your backside, like Michigan did. That's what happens when you let a David hang around and you're a big Goliath. You let David hang around and keep getting confidence, guess what? You can't find yourself on your backside. But then when David takes that, you know, looks and thinks that he's going to go up and win against the next Goliath, when the next Goliath is like, no, I'm going to put my foot on your throat and get you out of here. That's what Georgia did last night. Say, we like the coach said, who was that, Coach Smart? He said, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to be aggressive. And they were like, that media experts are saying, why he won't let up off the gas? You know, why he trying to rout these guys? Why he trying to break these kids' confidence? Wasn't about that. This is the college football playoff championship. Y'all said y'all belong here. My first team going to eat, and when they get full, I'm going to put my second team in here and let them eat. And when they get full, I'm going to start sprinkling some of my third stringers up in there and let them get full. Everybody going to eat tonight. Everybody going to get a little bit of that frog tonight. Okay? They wanted grilled frog legs last night, and they got it. Them dogs got it. So congratulations to the victor, the SEC champions, and the CFP champions last night, the Georgia Bulldogs. Congratulations, Georgia. Anyway, moving on to other stuff across the monitor. Looks like Matthew Stafford announces he'll return to the Rams regardless of head coach. If the head coach is there or not, does Matthew Stafford and the Rams need Sean McVay back? Yes, they do. Stafford and the Rams need to have Coach McVay back. He has taken that NFL program. He took him to the Super Bowl, took him to the playoffs before that. He took him to two Super Bowls. He's taken him just two Super Bowls, if I'm correct. He went one time with Goff, one time with Stafford. So do they need him back? Yeah. He is one of the great young minds. I mean, they just, you know, everybody had that Super Bowl hangover. It's hard to go back-to-back. It's hard to even go have great seasons back-to-back, especially when you got free agencies, people making cuts, people making moves, people making trades, people trying to get better at some time of one formula don't work versus the other formula. It's hard. It's hard to win in the NFL. That's why they say it's hard to win, because there's so much stuff going on. The general manager say, hey, we got to cut bait with some guys, bring some more younger guys in. We got to make some trades. We got to do this. We got to do that. The coach coaches. The general manager builds the team. The owner pays for it. So, yeah, the general manager and the coach got to get together and kind of, like, figure out what they need. And then the general manager got to go to the owner and say, okay, can you cut the check for this, this, and this? And also keep in mind, people, that most of these franchise owners, football is not the only thing they do. Football is a novelty item for them. Just like if I was a millionaire, you know, right now, just a small-time millionaire, I would want to get me a football franchise. Maybe go get me a whole developmental arena league team like the IFL or the NAL or both, you know, or get me a franchise in fan-controlled football, you know, because they play on TV every week. You know, if I'm an owner, you know, you want to have that. That's why, like, in fan-controlled football, all the players, like Austin Eckler for the Chargers, Renee Montgomery, who used to be in the WNBA, Marshawn Lynch. It's different ones. You know, it's different ones in fan control football that own the team, because they're like, hey, why not? You know, in entertainers and athletes in fan control football, they buy franchises in fan control football because it's nice to be in the owner's box. Okay, I'm in the owner's box. I own a team. You know, it's a novelty item. If you a mega conglomerate like a SoFi or something like that, like they can put your name on a building, you know, you may want to own a L.A. Rams or own a L.A. Chargers, you know. Who is that? Stan Kroenke, I think, that owns the Rams. You know, these guys are, I mean, for him to build SoFi Stadium, there was a huge undertaking. I know it cost a couple $1 billion, if I'm remembering right, because I studied up on it. In one of my courses I took for Steinberg Sports, they broke down everything of how they put together SoFi Stadium, from the naming rights all the way down to the groundbreaking. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I recommend you take that course with Lee Steinberg, Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. Take up their business certification course. It'll teach you everything about being an agent, being a manager, endorsement deals, naming rights for stadiums, how stadiums operate, all kind of stuff. I learned a lot. You know, I think the course cost me about $900. I paid $900 cash and took the course, passed it. And it basically enhanced – a lot of stuff that I already had an understanding about, but it reiterated, and I did learn some more details on top of my knowledge that I already had. I had knowledge, but it added the details to the knowledge that I walked in the door with. So it's almost like, you know, I did a lot of stuff on my own, mentorships and on-the-job training, but when I actually took the course enhanced what I had already learned on my own by adding detail, by adding color to it, by adding those details, the color, the lighting, sound to my knowledge, if you understand what I'm saying. I came in with information, but I was able to enhance that information through this training course. But what I was going back to what I'm saying is that some of these, you know, we're talking about these football franchises, the owner is probably an oil tycoon or own a chain of grocery stores, own a trucking industry, shipping industry, all kind of stuff. And, you know, they do multiple things in business, you know, IT, whatever, you know, communication companies, and they own these teams. And so it's like the owner, he's looking at like, okay, well, this is a novelty item. I'm not going to keep paying money for a losing team. Get rid of some of these guys and bring me some more guys. Let's figure out a winning formula, you know. And then, you know, it's like, that's why some of these guys say, I'm going to just sell the team. I'm going to sell it to an investment group. I don't want to be in football anymore because it's too much. I don't want to pay all these guys and they can't win. And they dip out. They sell it to somebody else. And that's the way it goes. I mean, unless you're one of them owners like a Jerry Jones, who just loves the Dallas Cowboys, who always wanted to own his own football team, and he's hands-on with his team. I mean, he knows who's doing what. But at the same time, don't get it twisted. Jerry Jones is not sitting up talking football on WFAN, WFAN, in Dallas, Texas. That's not what he's doing. He actually has an oil business, him and his son, Stephen Jones. They have an oil business that they actually run every day, I'm quite sure. And, they, you know, I put it like this, I can't say that for certain, but I'm pretty comfortable in saying that they're not sitting up talking X's and O's all day. That's why they have a general. That's why they have an assistant GM. And probably Stephen and Jerry, they're trying to figure out where's the next oil well we're going to break open to increase our profits daily. You know, not just putting money in the football, you know. So, should Sean McVay come back? Of course he should. Man, it took you to two Super Bowls. Why should he retire? He's just really cutting his teeth in pro football. He's still very young. So I think that he should definitely come back. I'm just looking for breaking news and stuff on the monitor. It's NFL playoff week. It's the first week of the playoffs. A lot of excitement going on. My beloved Chargers, they'll be playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, the San Diego Chargers, LA Chargers now. I'm so used to saying San Diego because I live in San Diego, and ever since I've been here, they've been the San Diego Chargers, except for like the last two, maybe 3 years. I think 2 years they've been the L.A. Chargers now, so it's still taking me some getting used to. They're saying the Chicago Bears should have the number one pick so they can get some help for Justin Fields. the Bears hold the number one overall pick in 2023 NFL draft, have never picked first overall in the common draft era since 1967. So I'm trying to figure out who should they get. If the young man from Ohio State, Marvin Harrison, and I don't know if his name is Marvin Harrison Jr. or whatever, but Marvin Harrison's son, I believe he plays for Ohio State, the one that got hurt in the college football playoff against Georgia. If he's available, I'm taking him. I'm taking that kid. Because Justin Fields needs somebody to throw to, and I think they might be familiar with each other from them being at the same school. At least, you know, I know they're alumni because Justin Fields came from Ohio State. So I think Justin Fields with his leg and his throwing ability, you got a Marvin Harrison out there with the ability to get open. Because Georgia couldn't do nothing with it with that guy the other night. Georgia really shouldn't even been in the college football championship. They should have been in the college football playoff championship last night. He had Marvin Harrison stood tall, well, not stood tall, but if he had been able to hold it up from injury, I think that Ohio State easily would have been playing TCU, and it probably would have been the same outcome, if not worse, because Georgia couldn't stop Harrison. But I think that that's who they should get. They need a wide receiver. I think they should go after Harrison. Now, that might sound crazy to some of y'all out there because there's so many receivers, so many different people out there. But I'm just saying, that young man, if he's eligible to go into the draft, that's who I would be going after for Justin Fields. I would go right after him. And then, you know, you probably wouldn't have to pay him a whole lot. But they got the number one pick. So I think the number one pick, you would have to really pay him. But that's fine. That guy's worth it. If you got any rebuttal on that, call in here, code 515. Let me get my guest line here. I say it so much, I don't know how I'm not remembering it. But if you want to comment or rebuttal on what I'm saying, call in the 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. If you'd like to call into the show and rebuttal what I'm talking about or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, the Bears hold the number one pick. They have 118.1 million in salary cap space, most in the NFL. They have a $118.1 million in salary cap space, most in the NFL. I like those numbers because what they're saying is that they can go out and get some key free agents next year, get some key free agents, and get him a receiver or two if they got 118 million in cap space. They can divide that up and just get him about, you know, get him a good offensive tackle. Get him a good offensive tackle. Get him a good wide receiver. They'll be all right. I think they already got a good running back, solid running back. You know, of course, you know, you got to, you know, build that line. Build that offensive line, but definitely offensive tackle. Build that offensive line up, but definitely get a tackle, get a wide receiver. They already got the quarterback in Justin Fields. And then I think they'll be all right. You can get some key free agents, get some key veteran free agents, some key veteran free agents that are not over the hill. Get some key veteran free agents that are not over the hill, that are still doable, that can come in and help out. I would even say get somebody like a Jimmy Garoppolo as a backup quarterback just to have that experience for Justin Fields, backing him up with some experience in the case Justin Fields goes down like he did earlier in the season. You know, you still got a good capable backup in like a Jimmy Garoppolo, a solid veteran quarterback backing him up just so you can make sure that the quarterback position is always going to be steady and stable, and then somebody he can learn from, somebody that can mentor him. As while they're backing him up, they can still mentor him as a starter. So that's a lot of money for the Bears. Bears in a good position. Number one pick, plenty of money for cap space. The general manager, they was just showing him up on the monitor. Looked like the general manager gonna try to make a move, and for the draft. So hey, that's gonna be big. That's gonna be big. That's gonna be real big. Three free agents out there, if you're out there listening to this show, you got to keep in mind, a lot of you guys are sitting at home. I just told you the Chicago Bears has $118.1 million in cap space. How many of you three free agents that played in FCS Division I HBCU colleges, how much money are the Bears going to spend on you? How much money, if you played at a Division II college, how much money are the Bears going to spend on you? Maybe somebody like a Ferris State, who's the champions of D2, they may get, you know, somebody may come in because, you know, they are the Division II national champions back-to-back. So that's a good program. Outside of them, Division II athletes, how much of that cap space is going to be spun on you? Division III athlete is going to be spun on you. NAIA athletes, how much is that cap space going to be spent on you? Are you on the draft board, street free agents? Because right now you're technically a street free agent, even though you're an NFL camp hopeful for 2023. How much of that cap space is going to be spent on you? We're talking about cap space. And I wasn't going to do a video today, but I think I might do a video sometime today to go along with this segment about cap space. The number one overall pick goes to the Chicago Bears. Out of all the programs that I just mentioned, how many of you guys think that the Bears would look and say, we're going to take you from your program first pick overall? I'm just asking a question. I mean, I don't know what your talent level is. I don't know what your skill level is, but I know when people go first overall, you guys all sit back and say, I'm just as good as him. I'm just as good as him. Are you really? Are you really? I really think that what you need to do is start trying to prove it. I think you need to start trying to prove that you're just as good as the guys that get drafted overall number one, the guys that go in the first round. the guys go in the first four rounds. I think you need to prove that you're just as good as those guys through my prove it method, where you basically get with me, get into my network, and let me start sending your film out to get you an opportunity to prove that you can play professional football against guys of that caliber. You can talk all day. But you gotta prove it. You can talk all day. Talk is cheap. Gotta prove it. And I'm just going back and saying this because we just had a team last night in TCU that got whipped, got the brakes beat off them by Georgia last night. And I don't think none of you that I just mentioned could even beat TCU. That's why you're not playing for TCU, because even though it's a small ball market, small ball club, still a high-level ball club. And all you guys that are going to schools in the SWAC, besides Jackson State last year, of course, Deion Sanders brought star power. And probably even this year with Bethune-Cookman with Ed Reed, I don't think he has as much star power as Deion Sanders as far as, like, on-camera star power, the personality. But as far as the experience and the toughness and being a Hall of Famer, oh, yeah, Ed Reed is going to turn Bethune-Cookman around. I think they're still finalizing the details of him taking over, but Ed Reed is going to get some recruits because he's that type of guy. He's going to bring that toughness and experience on defense. And I believe he's going to build a champion, just like Deion Sanders did. So outside of those two programs, SWAC and MEAC, like Mississippi Valley State, I saw you guys play this year against Bethune-Cookman, and both teams to me were honestly atrocious. Bethune-Cookman had a pretty decent quarterback, but I don't think he had the weapons around him, but he's pretty decent. And I'm not trying to call nobody out. I'm just basically saying that a lot of you guys, you know, okay, well, I got a Legacy Bowl invite, and for the HBCU Combine and HBCU Legacy Bowl All-Star Game, I got an invite. Yeah, that's great, but how many of you guys are still going to get drafted to get a camp invite? How many? Oh, I went to the Pigskin Classic. Shout out to my good friend, Coach Christopher Williams, formerly of the Green Bay Blizzard in the IFL. Christopher Williams, he's one of the partners, co-partners for the Pigskin Classic. He had a lot of HBCU guys went into the Pigskin Classic. But guess what? How many of you guys are going to be part of that $118 million cap space that the Chicago Bears are putting out there? You got to start being realistic with yourself. NAIA, D2, D3, all this stuff. You got to start being realistic with yourself and saying, where do I fit in the major pit, in the big picture of professional football? You got to have the right relationships. You got to know the right people. You got to know the right players in the game to help move you forward. Here it is. You guys are sitting back here procrastinating. And you'll be, you know, the guys from last year procrastinate. You'll be sitting at home this season too. Second screen, you'll be sitting at home. Guys this year trying to go into NFL camp 2023, you'll be sitting at home after the draft when you could have been playing and already set up for next year. You'll be sitting at home this spring, and you'll probably be sitting at home next spring because you'll constantly be sitting back saying, oh, I'm waiting on the phone to ring. Oh, I'm waiting on the phone to ring. People, the phone ain't ringing. Ain't no point in you watching the draft. Just go on out there, go lift some weights, go run, go do something, go to church, go to the grocery store, go hang out with your friends, because the phone's not ringing for you. If them people hadn't already been in contact with you from these proteins, your phone is not ringing. Sorry to tell you, it's not. You got to know the right people. Your coaches got to know the right people. People got to reach out. I've been sitting on social media the last couple weeks telling guys, hey, man, you know, If your football program starts is at this level, and the school's name starts at this level, or if the school went to the playoff, reach out to your coach with my email. Ask him, did he suggest you go pro? Not only do the coaches not respond to the email, okay, fine, but if I put it out there for the players, hey, players, tell your coaches to look at the email and see if they would recommend you to play pro football to me, and then I'll put you in my system. That'll get you going. U.S. players won't even do that. U.S. players won't even do that. I was going to put out a video. I'm done doing videos for a while. I just can't get the energy, the spark to do any more video postings because it's a waste of time. People were telling me, well, man, maybe you should be more visual because at first, just to let you know, at first on my Twitter and my Facebook account, I used to have a picture because I'm a visual guy. Visual stuff, I visualize wealth. So I had a picture of King Mansa Musa. King Mansa Musa, king of, if I'm correct, off the top of my head, Mali, the Mali Empire, M-A-L-I, in Africa. King Mansa Musa was known for taking a caravan from Mali all the way across the desert sands to Mecca. He went and he traded along that trade route all the way to Mecca, gold. He took X amount of gold with him in this caravan. And, of course, I'm quite sure he had soldiers and weaponry and everything like that to protect his product. But he was credited for bringing Islam back from Mecca back to Mali in Africa. They adopted the Islamic religion for the fact of to be under the same religion to trade with the Saudi Arabian empires. So... And they were trading gold, trading goods and services and gold and all kind of stuff, whatever, gold, silver, whatever. So I put his picture up on my Facebook and my Twitter page because I want to attract that kind of wealth. He had more gold at one time than anyone else in the world. King Mansa Musa. Look him up. M-A-N-S-A-M-U-S-A. Mansa Musa. Two separate words. Look him up. So I had this picture up on my Facebook and Twitter. But a lot of people argue, man, maybe you need to put take that picture down and put your face up there. Okay, I've done that. I put my face up. Finally put my face up. Started doing video posts. And guess what? Guess what the results was? Guess what the return on profit was by doing that? No more than it was when I had the other picture up. People can always tell you, and, you know, people can always stand on the outside and looking in and say, hey, man, you should do this. Hey, man, you should try that. But they don't be understanding that I've tried most of the stuff that you can suggest to me to basically get my company out there as a reputable company to help athletes fulfill their dreams. I've done endorsement stuff. I've had offers for endorsement deals. Not offers, but at least, I mean, I've presented endorsement deals. For athletes, I presented it, and I've got responses back, whether it was negative or positive. So I understand how the endorsement deals for athletes at the pro-developmental level. I know what it'll get you. They're probably not going to be interested at this time, but they'll keep you in mind. But I have at least endorsement deals, NIL deals, NFT deals, all that stuff. So what I'm saying is that people always suggest to other people from the outside looking in, oh, do this, do that. Try to put out more video posts. I put out the video posts, half of you, because the video posts on my account, I can only put up about 2 minutes and 17 seconds or 2 minutes and 22 seconds. Half of you don't even take the time to listen to what I'm saying on the video. That's why I'm quitting. That's why I'm going to stop doing them. Even when I sit back here and I do the my radio show, I would take the time out to break down the audio to tell you where to listen in on the episodes so you can just go straight to the information. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to quit doing that too. I'm going to quit putting effort for you athletes because you guys, your attention span is so short, you're not going to hear it. In breaking news, Carlos Carrera and the Twins agreed to a 6-year, $200 million contract. Carlos Carrera and the Twins agreed to 6 years, $200 million contract, pending physical. Carlos Carrera and the Twins agreed to a 6-year, $200 million contract, pending a physical, and that's according to Jeff Parsons' report. Jeff Parsons is reporting that. Jeff Possen, Senior Major League Baseball Insider. Jeff Possen, Senior Major League Baseball Insider. So they finally got this thing. Somebody's wanting to do business. I think he was trying to get on with the New York Mets, but Carlos Carrera and the Twins agreed to a six-year, $200 million contract. So it looks like he's going to the Twins. He had previously agreed with the deal to a deal with the Mets and the Giants before that. Had previously agreed to deal with the Mets and the Giants before that. The Mets didn't want to sign him because they was worried about some old injury. But anyway, Carlos Carrera and the Twins agreed to a six-year, $200 million contract in Major League Baseball. So I'm glad that he's hopefully he'll pass their physical and go ahead on and start getting ready for spring camp, because that's coming up in the next couple months for those guys as well, right after March Madness hits. Right around time March Madness hit, I think those guys will already be in camp for Major League Baseball, because I think their opening day is like the week after the national championship for March Madness for basketball, college basketball. So once March Madness wraps up, Major League Baseball opening day, that starts kicking in. And I'm going to try to go to opening day this year in San Diego, California, because San Diego had a great season, and I'm going to try to go. I always been telling myself, I'm going to go to opening day. I'm going to go to opening day. This year, I'm going to go to opening day. I'm going to get me a ticket and go to opening day. It's going to be a nosebleed seat, but I'm going to go to opening day. I used to like to go to these games when Teamwork Online would come out here to San Diego. Teamwork Online, they would come to San Diego, and I would always get a free ticket to go to the game. And they had good seats. We wasn't in the nosebleed seats. We was in the concourse area. Good seats, watch the game, get me a tall glass of beer, hang out, just enjoy myself. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that this year. I'm going to get me an opening day ticket, you know. And hopefully our San Diego Padres, hopefully we can have another playoff year. We should be getting back Fernando Tatis. We should get him back this year. I think all his games on suspension will have been served, so we'll have him back. And we'll still have Manny Machado, I believe. I hope they're not trying to deal him nowhere. So we got Machado, Tatis, and everybody in the whole supporting cast, Yu Darvish and all that's still pitching, I think we'll be okay for another playoff run. But the Padres in a hell of a division. National League West is tough. You got the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres. That's a tough division. And one more, I can't think off the top of my head who else is in our division. I'm more astute on my football stuff, but Major League Baseball, I know our division is the Padres, the Giants, the Dodgers, and Arizona Diamondbacks. Then we got Arizona Diamondbacks. Yeah, so if it ain't the Diamondbacks, it's got to be the Arizona Diamondbacks. It ain't the Colorado Rockies. I think they're AL, American League. But anyway, you can call in and comment or debate me on that at area code 515-602-9687. But going back to our topic, for those of you just tuning in, this is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogie the Bear radio show. It's your big budget versus little budget. Last night, the Big 12 competitor in TCU Horned Frogs, the TCU Horned Frogs, the reason why they got trounced last night, they got trucked last night, got the brakes beat off them last night, was because you can't take a bunch of 3- and 4-star recruits up there and trying to play against a team that got the majority 5-star with a sprinkle of 4-star athletes on the football team. Like I said, the experts on the monitor were starting to say that, man, the second string is just as hungry and look just as good as the first string. It's almost like in boxing. If you go in there, you sparring against Mike Tyson every day when Mike Tyson was the champion. You go in there, you sparring against Mike Tyson every day, and you taking it from Mike, and you giving it back to Mike. You're probably going to be hell for a lot of other guys to beat. Playing at a powerhouse program with all 5-star recruits, you're going against seniors that were 5-stars about to go into the NFL. You're a freshman coming in there going up against them guys, and freshman and sophomore. Them guys are going to get good because they're going against the ones at practice. So when you play a team like TCU, truth of the matter is, they could have put their second string out there and probably still beat TCU last night. It might have been a closer game. Might have been like maybe more of a reputable game. Like, let's say, for instance, TCU could have probably put up 21 points. And maybe the second team for Georgia could have put up 35-21. I'll give it that much. But that's the second team. Second team could have probably still put up 35 points. Less experience, same physical gifts. Five-star athletes, people. It's all about the budget. The budget is what dictates. The budget is what dictates today. Who gets what players? Back in the day in the 1800s, a little historical fact, West Point. President Eisenhower used to play football at West Point. Dwight Eisenhower. And I think this is either early 1900s or late 1800s. Dwight Eisenhower was a college football player at West Point. At the point, right? They went and played a team. It's the government. They went and played a little school in Ohio, I believe, the Carlisle Indian School. I believe that was in Ohio. They played against the Carlisle Indian School when the Indians were getting, the tribes were getting raided, and they were making the Indians assimilate to domestic life in white America. Okay? Carlisle Indian School formed a football team. The problem was two things. The coach changed football as it was played back then. He created something called misdirection. The coach at the Carlisle Indian School came up with a scheme called misdirection. Guess who that coach was, people? Oh, yeah. A lot of you say his name every year when your kids go to play. Pop Warner. Coach Pop Warner came up with misdirection. He said, he challenged West Point. He said, I got a bunch of kids down here that you don't know nothing about that are very talented, just as talented as your boys at West Point. I challenge you to a football game at West Point, and I guarantee you we can beat y'all. Took a group of Indian kids, which this power white institution, West Point, with future president Dwight Eisenhower, played the Carlisle Indian School. The Carlisle Indian School defeated West Point. So the reason why I'm bringing up this story is if the talent would have been equal last night in the college football championship game, if it would have been equal talent, it would have been a competitive game. The Carlisle Indian School, although they weren't a big budget government program like West Point, they had the talent at the Carlisle Indian School, and they went out there and they beat West Point at West Point. Talent. You have to have the manpower to compete against a team with solid manpower. College football is all about budget, people. Give you another historical fact. Taking some time out to teach you this morning. BCU schools. You're talking about like Grambling with the great Eddie Robinson. Florida A&M. They had a great coach there, too, back in the day, during the time of when Eddie Robinson was coaching. Florida A&M. I forgot his name. But Florida A&M. Coach, I'll have to get his name and tell you who he was tomorrow, if I can remember. If not, remind me if you'd like to know. But anyway, just do your own research. Go to Florida A&M back in the 70s and 80s. And during the time in the 70s and the 80s, this particular coach at Florida A&M, he said, I don't like what I'm seeing. And what he was seeing was that teams like Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Alabama, they were going to historical black colleges like Grambling, Florida A&M, Mississippi Valley State, Alabama A&M, Alabama State. They were going down there raiding these schools. or at least talking to the kids while they were in high school and saying, hey, we got the budget to bring you in and give you a great education. Why go to that little black college when you can come over here to Georgia? Look, when you go into corporate America after you graduate, you're going to have Georgia on your degree versus Grambling on your degree or versus Florida A&M on your degree. You're going to have Georgia, LSU on your degree, okay? So come over here and play for us. Then you know how it went back in the day, you know, slide mom and daddy a little money up under the table, you know, get them a car, help them get a little job through the alumni. You know, that's how it was done. We know how the game was played back then. Then they started constantly attracting more and more of the big black athlete. The big black athlete comes to these big powerhouse programs. Now you want to know why last night you got a team like TCU, which is a solid team. And you could take that same TCU team and let them play against Grambling today, Southern today, Mississippi Valley State today. Why do they truck that team? I remember a couple years ago, probably back in 2010, 2011, Grambling played TCU. I think that was the year that Andy Dalton came out. And Doug Williams' son was Doug Jr., was quarterbacking for Grambling. And TCU put a whooping on Grambling that year. It wasn't competitive at all, if I'm remembering right. Why? Because TCU got all the three and four-star athletes on their team, and Grambling got all the one- and two-star athletes. And most of them usually are going to be freshmen coming in because those small schools like black colleges, they recruit their guys to start their guys. They'll take a high-level high school athlete and go in and let them start in college because they need that talent right away. They don't have a depth of talent. Why? Because all the big conferences, the Power Five conferences, Big 12, Big 10, SEC, ACC, 12, whatever you want to call it now, they got all the talent because they got all the budget, people. And that's what we saw last night. Budget. Last night wasn't about the fact that TCU had no talent. They had talent, but they don't have sustainable talent. They had talent to beat Michigan because Michigan got caught sleeping. Again, Michigan got caught sleeping, people. They got caught sleeping. That's just a fact. If Michigan gets caught sleeping, meaning like Goliath got caught sleeping against David, Goliath wound up finding himself on his butt. Michigan and TCU. Michigan let TCU hang around. Michigan couldn't score in the red zone on three different occasions, if I'm remembering correct. You can call into the show to correct me if I'm wrong. People, just because TCU beat Michigan that one weekend, it's a lot to come in there and try to beat a powerhouse, a juggernaut, Georgia, the next week. We're talking about injuries from the Michigan game. You know, people hurt, this, that, and other. I think TCU running back was out from the Michigan game. Their main running back was out. He didn't play. So they had to dig in the well and go to their backup running back. But they 9 times out of 10, their backup running back, who might have been a 3-star versus the starting running back, a 4-star, a 5-star, this kid might have been a 3-star and made the team, but you going up against a 5-star defense. Everybody on the defense is a 5-star athlete. How does this happen, people? Budget. It wasn't so much the fact that TCU couldn't play. Yeah, they can play. Yeah, they're talented. But they have a 3-star, 4-star budget. And Georgia has only a 5-star budget, meaning to go play football at Georgia, you need to be a 5-star recruit. That's what they recruit, 5-star athletes. The best. You know, I ain't saying no 4-stars can't get on. But if you're a 4-star, they're looking at you like he probably should have been a 5-star, but for whatever reason, whatever happened, but we're going to go on taking. We're going to get him coached up to be a 5-star. That's what Georgia do. That's what their training does. That's what their budget allows. People, it's all about budget, big budget versus little budget. Like one of the media experts said this morning. The bottom line is, we said last night on social media, one of the media experts said that when it all comes down to it, TCU didn't have the manpower that Georgia has. It's just that simple. It wasn't the fact they couldn't play. They didn't have the manpower. They didn't have the manpower. It's almost like when you watch a military academy, Army, Navy, Air Force, you watch them, and they always say, besides Air Force runs a pass. They run a lot of pass plays, but they also run a lot of triple option too. They always say, why the military academy run triple option? They have to have a scheme, people. They're not big, so they're going to have to be fast and use a lot of misdirection. And you're going to have to learn how to stop it. So all the teams that the military academies beat, all the teams, and even giving teams hell in the SEC, they'll get them teams hell because why? It's hard to get that triple option. It's hard to defend the triple option if you don't keep your assignment. And that triple option keeps Navy an undersized team, Army an undersized team, Air Force an undersized team. It keeps those teams in these football games because they run in this direction with the triple option. They have to run that because they're too small, and they don't. And the government is not going to go out and spend money on the best athletes that are out there. Meaning, you can't be a 395-pound defensive tackle, a 365-pound defensive tackle, and play at Army, Navy, or Air Force. Why? Because they have a weight standard. You can't be walking around in uniform, big and sloppy, meaning you look out of standards. And I ain't saying these guys ain't athletes. And I think they've been giving some weight waivers because I've been noticing up on the defensive line and offensive line, some of these guys for the military academies are starting to get a little bit bigger. I think because the military is going to start giving out some waivers so these guys can compete, meaning like we're going to let you play up to a certain weight while you're in the academy. After you graduate, you're going to have to slim down to a certain weight. I think they have it in their contract now, I think, to where they can be a little bit bigger. Because Navy and all these guys, they want to get to high-level bowl games or some of the more reputable bowl games. They probably will never make a New Year's Six, but they want to get to a reputable bowl game. And then when you get to a bowl game, obviously it attracts talent nationwide. It attracts talent. But even at that level, the military academies, they go around to the best high schools, the high school prep programs, high school programs that got prep AP. I don't know how to say it, but the military academies, in my opinion, they go to high level high schools. That got kids mentally prepared for the classroom, and at the same time, big schools that have the kids mentally prepared for college, and they can recruit from the athletic department to come to Navy. So they get good quality athletes that can hang in the classroom or at least go to a prep school, the military prep schools that they have, and get them ready for to go to the academy. And then they can play for Navy, Army, Air Force, all this here stuff. The Navy, they have a great recruiting tool, meaning at their level, in their system, they also go out and get the best education-wise combination of athletics and education. But they're not going to be able to go out and get a five-star athlete, maybe a three-star. Three-star, maybe some four-stars that want to be in the military and be an officer and serve their country. But they're still not going to be able to go out like Georgia and get five-star athletes, because five-star athletes in the SEC are damn near, you know, guys that are well over 300 pounds, and they're going to the NFL. The military academies don't need those type of athletes because they need guys that's going to be able to serve for 4 years on active duty after they graduate, and then they can come back and pursue their football career in most cases. Or try in most cases. And I think year to year the legislation changes to where some guys can go ahead on and enter into the draft. Like this year they passed a bill for a guy to enter into the draft, a high-level four-star athlete out of Army, and he was able to go ahead on and declare for the NFL draft. So they're going to let him go ahead and try the 10 camp and play. Like when they had, when Navy had Keenan Reynolds, they allowed him to go ahead on and play, and I think he made the Baltimore Ravens practice squad, and they put him on reserve, on active reserve or something like that. But when he probably got cut, he probably just went on in full active duty. But, you know, I mean, all I'm saying is that budgets, whoever has the biggest budget is going to have the biggest team and the best team. They're going to have the biggest, the best, bigger, faster, stronger. Simple as that. With that being said, if you are a current 2022 camp hopeful, currently a streak free agent that has not gotten an opportunity to play pro football, and you're still looking for one, or if you're a current athlete that has recently played his last college game and you're a 2023 NFL camp hopeful for this year's draft, you can work with me in my system. Just give me a message for the details at Ferran Sports on Twitter. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, at Ferran, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. You can DM me for the details of how you can work with me. I have opportunities for you to play this spring. And at the same time, I have opportunities for you to stay, for you, if you're in my network, totally vested into my network. I have opportunities as I move forward in my career as a sports executive. I'll still have opportunities after you quit playing, meaning like if I'm in a high-level position, I'm going to always remember all my clients for jobs, whether you're doing marketing, sales, coaching, scouting, whatever you want to do it for a franchise or an organization, I'm going to remember the people that have invested in themselves by investing in me. So, with that being said, if you want more information about how to work with me further, just hit me up on Facebook, Ferran Sports Management Agency, or you can just type in my name, Ramiro, R-A-M-I-R-O, Ferran, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, Ramiro Ferran on Twitter, or you can just go to my, Ramiro Ferran on Facebook, and on Twitter it's going to be at Ferran Sports on Twitter. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D. Capital S-P-O-R-T-S, F-R-A-N Sports on Twitter. I used to do a time code on all my episodes, but I'm just learning now. I'm just, you know, a lot of you street free agent athletes, y'all not listening to this stuff. And even when I put the time code out there for you to get the information, even when you're directly talking to me, I'm telling you where to listen at each episode so you can fast forward to the time. I'm going to quit doing that. Don't quit doing that because I don't want to continue to work myself so hard to try to help you guys, and you won't even go and listen to the information. That's why I said I'm going to stop doing videos. I'm going to stop doing videos, and I'm going to stop because you won't listen to the video. Like one guy told me, the video is only 2 minutes. I said, did you listen to the video? He said, I listened to a little bit of it. And I'm like, how can you listen to a little bit of a two-minute video? That makes no sense. So you just listened to me announce who I was, but you didn't stay on there to find out what it takes to work with me, meaning you heard everything but how much it costs to get into my system. I stopped doing it, people. I'm going to just be content with what I'm doing. If you don't want to play football, don't play. I'm looking for guys that want to play football. I'm looking for guys that want to invest in themselves. I'm looking for guys that want to invest in themselves by investing in me for opportunities now and opportunities in the future. So, you know, with that being said, I'm not going to be doing any more video posting until I just get ready to do one when I'm compelled to do one. But as far as me, like, taking the time to listen to my radio show breakdown, hey, go to this, fast forward to this minute, fast forward to that minute, and I'm talking about this and that. No, do like everybody else do. Listen to, you want to hear the radio show? Listen to the radio show, and 9 times out of 10, it'll be something in there that I'm talking about free agency and how you can work with me. Listen to the whole episode and just – you can fast forward through, skip through, whatever you want to do, but I just recommend you listen to the whole show because I'd be talking about some of everything, not just the stuff on the monitor, not just my topic, but I'll take time. But I also take the time out to educate people, free agency. At the same time, I also bring in street free agents that have been where you're about to be, and that are at where you currently are, to teach you about their journey so so they can teach you their journey so you can be better prepared for a pro opportunity as a street free agent. With that being said, I want everybody to stay light, not dog, be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Remember, there's only one race, and that's the human race. With that being said, I'll see you guys tomorrow, God willing, and have a great day. Set black, fade off.